welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Well, there's been a lot of economic news lately, and for a look at the hottest spot in the Indiana economy, we traveled north. Welcome to the production line at Keystone RV in Elkhart County. This is one of more than 20 lines where Keystone's fast-moving workforce builds travel trailers and fifth wheels, the most popular segment of the RV market. Sales are booming. As we'll learn, the problem now is people, not enough of them to build the RVs, make the parts, or even make the fries at McDonald's. It's all a huge contrast to 8 years ago when Elkhart County suffered very high unemployment during the recession. Kyle Hannon, president and CEO of the Greater Elkhart Chamber of Commerce, remembers those days.
At that time, things were rough. Everybody knew somebody out of work. I mean, it was just very, very common. In the city, the unemployment rate was around 20%. That was tough. I mean, it was rough. But there was always a spirit, you know, that we're getting through this. There's a tomorrow. So nobody was giving up. It's saying, yeah, we've got a lot of unemployment right now. We know we're coming out of this. And you know, it was really through grit and determination that we did. I think the RV companies themselves have retooled somewhat, and the promotional aspect of RVs, that the camping lifestyle is reaching all age groups and all income levels. And it's a very attractive lifestyle. And the demand for these units, whether it's the drivables or the towables or the fifth wheels, they're very desirable. And you know, last year was a record year. Until probably this year, we may surpass it.
Can you tell a story about an exchange that you had with someone or a moment where you thought to yourself, times really are good, you know?
Yeah. It becomes very evident that the economy is so good here. When you go to a restaurant, even a fast food restaurant, they're short-staffed. It's hard to everybody. I mean, everybody is short-staffed. When you have, you know, McDonald's offering hiring bonuses, that's a sign that obviously, you know, the jobs are available all over the community.
And there's a spillover benefit. It's not just the RV manufacturers, but...
You know, one of the things that's kind of interesting is during the downturn, when the RV industry was really on its knees, you could sort of look around and say, wait, what's this company over here? What's that company over here? They have cars in the parking lot. What's happening? And it sort of brought up the other kinds of businesses around here. I mean, we have a very diverse economy. It's that, you know, it ventures into all aspects of things. We, you know, Elkhart was the home of Miles Laboratory, which invented Alka-Seltzer, Flintstone Vitamins, Bactine, and a variety of pharmaceutical things. And they developed the diabetic testing strips. They were purchased by Bayer, which then decided to close down here. That was a big loss. However, you had this strong pharmaceutical industry. You have spin-off industries. You had people who developed other kinds of the, you know, Serum Research in town still develops the testing strips used by dialysis places. You have Agdia, which was a complete branch off that does food testing, and they're known around the world for testing food and seeing what, you know, about safety levels and what kinds of bacteria and what kinds of problems they might be having. That's around. We have this company that then makes, that's not a spinoff of that. One of the other companies in town, a big one, was Crown Audio, which made the high-end amplification systems used in Lucas Oil Stadium, used in Lambeau Field, used in the World Cup in Brazil, used in the Bird Nest for the Beijing Olympics. All those sound systems were made in Elkhart, Indiana. And that's a company that you kind of forget about because the RV industry is so large, hires probably 20% of the people here employed there, you kind of forget about it. So when the economy for the RV industry was having such difficulty, that you started noticing the other companies in town a little bit, which is great. And I work pretty hard to bring up those other companies because now that the RV industry is so strong again, we still don't want to forget the diversity that in this economy. We're very proud of it.
This is like a boom town in some ways. as things are exploding. What kind of challenges does that bring?
It's rough, and I mean, the quest for workers is a really big deal, and they're not necessarily the high end, high skill master's degree jobs. They just need people who know how to work, who know how to get things done, who can work as a team and produce things. And we've mentioned the RVs. I didn't even mention the boats. The boating industry is another big thing we have in town. And the skills are very similar. It's assembly, light assembly, putting things together. And you know, we work as the chamber trying to help the companies with the processes and all to try to be real good. So that's probably the struggle that companies are facing right now is, where do you get enough workers? Because they're kind of competing with each other for the same pool of workers. And also, how do you implement efficiencies in your operations and your processes to be stronger? So that's a challenge that a lot of the companies are facing right now.
And we noticed up in Warsaw, I think that there's a partnership between Ivy Tech and some of the medical device makers. Are you guys experimenting with anything here with the schools? And
yes, I mean, so the cooperation with Ivy Tech is something that they've experimented with. It's probably not there yet. I mean, but that's certainly something that we need to pursue to see how we can make a better partnership that way. The schools also are getting ready to launch something called a work ethics certification that is really more of a connection between the folks that are going through school and being ready for the workforce right after. And it's not necessarily that you just go get a job, it's that you're getting something it's a job, but a job that also leads to certifications and skills. So there's a good cooperation of that that's really starting really right now. And I'm very excited to see how that moves forward in the future.
Kyle Hannon, President and CEO of the Elkhart Chamber of Commerce. Times are good in Elkhart County, where they make something like 3/4 of all the RVs on the road. When we come back, out on the factory floor.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
It's the sound of money. Busy crews swarming over the production line of new travel trailers at Keystone RV in Goshen. These are handmade but costing only around $15,000 or so because they're the small ones. The RV business is booming, and Elkhart County is its capital. Jeff Runnels is president of Keystone RV.
So 2017 is shaping up to be a banner year, a record year. And what's nice is, obviously, since 2008, 2009, it's been a steady increase. And, you know, back in 2008 and 2009, most of the folks that were coming around Elkhart County were doing pieces on unemployment. And we were kind of setting the pace and the record for the highest unemployment in the nation. And now here we are in 2017, and we're the opposite. We can't find enough people to come to Elkhart County in particular to fill all the jobs for the RV companies. And it's not just the manufacturers, it's the suppliers. There is skilled labor involved in a myriad of different types of spots. So we've made a complete 180 from where we were in 2008 and 2009, which is nice, because just before 2008 and 9, we were heading into record years at that point too, when everything kind of went south. So I would say 2017 is great, and even better is the influx of new RVers to the industry. And you know, everybody asks, who are the people that are coming into the industry now? And we are seeing really heavy new buyers in, obviously, the younger generations. The millennials are certainly been a big push, and it's interesting to see how they're using RVs and what they're wanting out of an RV. But we're still seeing new buyers that are in their 60s and 70s coming into RVs. They've never done it before. And so now they're retiring into an RV. They might be going full-time into a big fifth wheel or even a motorized. And they're touring the country, and they said, you know what, we don't want to sit in one place anymore. We want to enjoy retirement all over the country and see what it has to offer. And RVs offer the best snapshot for that.
Has the profile of the RV buyer changed at all in 20 years or so?
You know, we talk about that all the time. Every year we kind of forecast, okay, where's the growth going to come from? Or what segment's going to be the most popular this year? And what we see is a lot of the price segments and a lot of the buying segments stay very consistent. But what they want within those segments changes a little bit. So, you know, the buyers tend to move with inflation a little bit, but they want different features. So in the last 10 years, you see RVs that, if you don't have a TV in an RV these days, people are shocked. And, you know, again, 10 years ago, that was just something you didn't see. Solid surface countertops, that was something you didn't see. In fact, most people didn't even have them in their homes. And so now you see them in the majority of RVs out there. It blows your mind. But the price segments haven't changed a whole lot. They still want the same basic box size, and they still want the same towability and movability in those RVs. So it's been up to us to figure out, okay, how do we incorporate some of these new things that people want because they have them at home, into an RV and still make it affordable and make it towable. And that's a tough charge. But again, with some of the growth in the smaller segments, people don't know what they don't know yet. So it's our job to try to deliver that experience and make it towable and make it affordable and make it fun so that then they can graduate and experience those other segments where they maybe get a solid surface countertop or a bigger TV or just a bigger unit overall.
Jeff Runnels, president of Keystone RV in Goshen. Elkhart County is the center of the RV business globally, but there's a problem. Not enough people. More about that when we come back.
If I were a carpenter, you were a lady, would you marry me anyway?
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
There's no shortage of sales in the RV business. That's great news in Elkhart County because something like 3/4 of all RVs are built within a short distance of the county. But in business, there's always something. Just ask Kyle Hannon, president and CEO of the Greater Elkhart Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, right now, the first and the second and the third topic in all groups is jobs. Where do I find workers? Everybody is struggling for it, and it's really hard to do. And that branches out into society in a lot of ways. You know, we, in 2013, the chamber came out with this idea saying we need to attract talent to this community. We call it the 500 families vision. We need to attract 500 families of talented people to the community. And that was really just sort of a vision to share. And a lot of other people are you know, capturing that. It's you know, how do we attract talent here? What that leads to then is a proposal for a new high-end apartment complex in downtown that will require some public assistance. Well, people kind of freak about that anytime their tax dollars used for something, but you know, it's a good plan. So you know, the chamber has to step up and say, no, we need this housing development. And other advocates say we need this housing development because, quite frankly, we can attract a lot of people to the community. Where are we going to put them? You know, we don't have the housing. You know, the housing inventory is at an all-time low. We need more housing in this area. So that's the struggle. You need more workers, but that means you have to have more housing as well. That leads to, you know, again, a lot of discussion. There's more to just saying, you know, putting out a help wanted ad. It's a community-wide thing. This has to be a place where you want, where people want to live and where they're able to live. So it's amenities and it's housing.
Yeah, I was going to ask about amenities, thinking of like primacy of place, that whole movement. What sorts of things is Elkhart doing in that regard?
We've been pushing that kind of thing for a long time, really. We have, you know, again, sometimes we just need to pay attention to what we have. I mean, we have two rivers meeting right downtown. They meet in our downtown. And you have a lot of access to those rivers. So people who like fishing, people who like kayaking. I take my kayak through downtown all the time. It's fun. But you need to remind people that this is the kind of great activity you have. We've been pushing for more bike paths in the area as well. And also our Convention and Visitors Bureau launched a program a while ago, you know, trying to support, they call it SOMA, supporting our main assets. And they sort of established an arts and entertainment district in the area, you know, and they're trying to promote more, you know, eating and recreational activities. You have a business district, we have more museums downtown than most people. So sometimes you have to just capture this. We have great amenities right downtown and in the whole community. We just kind of need to sell those a little better, package them a little better, and develop them a little better.
I love when you were talking about the 500 families. Can you just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and the idea was, as you're looking, there's always a race for talent. And quite frankly, the whole regional cities aspect was that whole regional city initiative was saying, we need to attract talent to our areas. I'd like to say we were first at saying that, at least. I don't know that we led it, but we've been talking about it a while. You look at your community, and you look at what happens to Midwestern communities in particular, that you have to have the talent to attract the jobs. The economic development mindset and criteria has changed. In the old days, you know, what Elkhart did was we built a factory once. The chamber built a factory out on the edge of town. We invited the Chicago telephone system to move here and leave Chicago and move to Elkhart. And they did, and it brought a whole bunch of jobs. And CTS was here for a long time, and that's what you did. You brought the big factory, and that brought all the jobs. It doesn't work that way now. Right now, a big factory or a big company says, can I find the workers to, you know, produce my product? And if not, they're not coming. They need to know that they've got the talent in the area to if they're going to bother coming. And that's a big challenge that we have right now in as far as attracting people to town. So we kind of saw that, and we were looking and saying, especially if we want to bring higher end jobs, we need to bring professionals, because we have, you know, currently Elkhart County, each day 28,000 people commute in to Elkhart County to work. Yeah, 11,000 from St. Joe County next door, about 5,000 from Michigan. I mean, this is the place where all the jobs are, and people are coming in. And the thought was, we need to make this a very livable community, so some of the professionals will actually live here.
You know, I saw this impressive limestone building in the Museum of
American Art. That's been around for a while, the Midwest Museum of American Art, and it's again one of those gems sometimes the people in the community forget and need to pay attention to, but a lot of the community supports it. They have exhibits in there. They have a big Norman Rockwell exhibit that's very popular. They have a few paintings hanging up there that are famous, really, that one of them was borrowed by the Guggenheim Museum when they were traveling internationally, taking art around, showing it to places like China. They borrowed a painting from right across the street from here, the Midwest Museum of American Art. So we have that. We have the Lerner Theater, which was, you know, next door to us, is one of the great great victories for this community. We had, it was an old vaudeville theater that was still functional, but it was really, you know, out of date and not very well equipped. And our community, gosh, I'm going to say 4 or 5 years ago, was saying, what do we do with this? Do we tear it down? Do we just keep the facade and build behind it? And looked at other communities, what they did with their theaters, and thought, no, what we do is we stay committed to this theater, we renovate it, and we expand it and add rental space to it, which is what we've done. It's a very popular place. It's doing really well, and it's great for our community.
As strong as the good times are, the folks in Elkhart don't forget that the economy can go south, too. But it turns out they're not as worried about that as you might expect them to be.
Yeah, there is some concern, and I guess maybe this does get asked at times, but there is always concern with the cyclical nature. Let's say, well, the RV industry, you know, you can't rely on that. You're just making trailers. What kind of economy do you have? Well, we've moved beyond that. Yes, it's a cyclical industry, only in that the economy is cyclical. During the last downturn, there was never a shortage of people who wanted to buy RVs. There was a shortage of financing. That was the problem. It wasn't that the product wasn't wanted. It's that the banks goofed up everybody and you couldn't get a loan. So also the major companies that handle what they call the floor plan financing, so doing the bridge between the maker and the dealer, they said, we're done with this, and pulled out. It was never the RV industry. The RV industry did not lead to the RV downturn. The economy and the banking crisis led to the downturn. Yep. And most people aren't paying cash for those units. Some are, and they continued to. But they can be kind of expensive. I mean, a towable camper is, you know, might be in the, you know, $20,000 range. which is somewhat attainable. The Class A motorhome is closer to $500,000 or $200,000, and that's a little harder to pay for up front. So that was the problem. It was never the RV industry. It was the lending. It was the economy in general. And you always say that Elkhart is the indicator, because if we don't have enough driveways in Elkhart County to house all the units, they aren't being sold here. They're being sold across the country and in some cases across the world. So if suddenly they're not being sold, it's a sign of a bigger problem. So that's kind of why it's cyclical. Likewise, when people start buying them again, it's a sign that things are turning around. In the Elkhart economy, the boat industry is the same way. We just happen to have two industries that are based on high-ticket, non-essential items that are kind of the indicator. What happens, though, is that the industries are a little smarter. I mean, over time, they've just learned a lot and have figured out ways to become less seasonal and maybe less susceptible to swings. There's a lot of consolidation going on and continues. I think we will still be an indicator for the larger economy. I don't think it'll be as much, though, because, again, the dips won't be as much because the companies have gotten, better at managing that.
Grandpa was a carpenter, built houses, stores, and banks. Chain-smoked chemicals, cigarettes, and hammered nails and planks. He was level on the level.
Kyle Hannon of the Chamber of Commerce in Elkhart, where they're talking about their 500 families vision to attract people to live there. It's a plan to address the community's number one problem, a shortage of workers in the booming RV business. This ties into some things we've talked about in other communities, the efforts in many Indiana cities to add the parks, walkways, co-working spaces, other amenities to attract talent. That's the buzzword these days. Communities aren't chasing smokestacks so much anymore. They want to attract the smart, creative people desired by good companies. The upshot, we're seeing cities remaking themselves. There's new pride and confidence now in many Hoosier places. And that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, Debbie Webb, Alicia Franklin, and Elena McKenzie. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.